All right, guys, here we are once again, Comic City 2, Madison, Tennessee.
Oh, son of Maddie.
Here we go.
Son of Maddie.
Geeks of the Square Table. And we're all about to yell at Larry, but first things first, I'm going to introduce everybody. To my left, I have...
Gomer.
Larry.
Hi, I'm Wes.
Taylor.
Jesse.
And more. Angel.
And we all hate Larry right now because he just said he thinks...
The truth! Larry has just spoke the truth, and you're all afraid to admit it.
Don't compound your lie on your opinion, man.
Before we get any further into his awful slander and lies, what he thinks is supposedly the truth, and poor Larry must have a tumor or something. I don't know what's going
he's
on
got
with
something.
Him. But
it's not
he is convinced. He's convinced Blade Runner was a terrible film, and that's just awful.
Please support your
okay, first of all, it wasn't totally terrible.
Oh, now he's taking it back.
It was a bad movie that is incredibly overrated.
Excellent.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, the main story is about an assassin who's supposed to kill four people. Who he kills nobody. He kills nobody
that's
in the freaking movie.
True.
He kills the two females.
Yes.
One of them's killed by another freaking robot. The original story would have been good if the people didn't, if the robots didn't look like people. That changed a key element of the story. It's untrue to the original material, and it's an incredibly boring movie.
I think I just went deaf.
Okay, you're saying the original material had Android Dream and Electric Sheep?
Yes.
They're two different things, and they should not be compared at all.
Yeah.
And besides that,
the movie is incredibly boring.
You'd say,
it is. It's very pretty. It looks pretty.
It has some teeth to it that most movies since and
it,
before
it
never
is
had.
Exactly. The slowest action movie.
It's not an action
ever.
Movie.
It's not an action movie. It's
not
a thriller.
It's a high sci-fi.
If you went in thinking, I'm going to watch Harrison Ford shoot me some robots, you'll probably be disappointed.
Exactly.
That's not what the movie is about.
And it is the start of cyberpunk in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
And
it's meaningful for that reason alone.
It's more a thriller noir film. Than really
it's all about a guy who falls in love with somebody he doesn't realize he was doesn't know that they're a robot until after he falls
it's
in love.
It's a detective noir movie. Have you seen those?
But
nothing happens.
He doesn't figure out shit. People tell him all the answers.
But it doesn't matter what his experience is.
You know, everybody he's supposed to kill, somebody helps him out. If it wasn't for the other people helping him out, the movie makes Harrison Ford
look like
a
little... Should he be killing them in the first place? That's
I mean,
let's be honest. What did they do wrong?
By that transgression, wouldn't you say Luke Skywalker's a little... Because everybody helps him do everything?
If you're going to dislike any movie where the protagonist gets help, you're not going to like any movie.
No, he doesn't do anything on his own, though.
Neither does Luke Skywalker.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with Luke Skywalker being a little...
Oh, no. Let's not leave our
fans. We're mad enough you're dissing Blade Runner. Don't get...
I'm just saying it's totally overrated.
I got one more.
I'm pretty sure Luke destroyed the Death Star and all he had was a voice whispering his head. Are you comparing
R2-D2 made that whole battle.
R2-D2 died in the last 30 seconds.
Okay. 1940s Japanese samurai movies made that whole battle.
Yes.
Okay.
Touche.
Is a film not allowed to have influences, though? I don't know.
Exactly.
But influences and direct plot ripoffs are another story.
Isn't a movie also allowed to not have influences, which is why Blade Runner is so appealing? It's totally different than so many other things that came before it. And everything that has come since it hasn't really been able to keep up to that splendor that is Blade Runner. It's amazing.
Except for Highlander 2, apparently.
Oh, bullshit.
Okay, no.
We talked about that last week in
we
the
did.
Worst movies ever.
It's in one of the... It is probably one of the worst movies. So
I wouldn't call
3.
Blade Runner the worst movie ever, but I would call it the most overrated movie.
Have you read the Android Dreams of Electric Sheep, the source material for that, Philip K. Dick's? Masterful piece.
It's a great book.
Have you read that?
And you're saying
have
Blade
you, I'm
Runner.
If you've read Do Android
No,
Dream
I have not.
Well, that's the source material for right. Blade Runner, and in my opinion, is a lot better than the movie, as is with most.
Now, yeah, as
know,
to be expected.
Translations.
Well, I would argue that those are two
they
different.
They are beasts. Very different.
That's like,
it's almost as a Harry Potter. Once you got to the seventh Harry Potter movie and book, were completely, you know.
That's just like,
or
the
like
Shining.
The Shining,
exactly.
Which we were
talking
about last night, actually, that The Shining, though it is completely different. When a director takes a book and actually does his adaptation and does it skillfully, it is totally all right with me because it is their own thing. Like, they had source material, but, I mean...
It's right, kind of what you're talking about. It's like The Walking Dead. We can enjoy the comic and enjoy the show.
Yes.
And never the two shall meet besides...
You don't want to... You don't want
Where's to, Carl?
Why the 90s Psycho is so terrible? Because it's scene for scene, line for line, the exact same movie. I don't want to watch the same thing over and over.
That's what they're saying about the new Carrie that just came out. Yes. It's essentially a straight up remake. There's not its own take on the story.
Exactly.
It's more. We saw it last night.
Something new to the table. Why come to the table at all?
Exactly. Yes. If you're not bringing something new, even if it's a twist on something old, that makes it new.
That's the cool thing. Larry, I'm going to get to you. The Amazing Spider-Man movie where the death anymore, was completely different.
They
did not do the exact same origin, and they actually made him a vengeful person.
Yeah, like they actually went out of their way to avoid saying, "With great power
comes great responsibility."
Noticeably absent.
Yeah, I appreciated that was in the first set of Spider-Man movies that they did pull that in from
the comics. Of course.
I'm also good with them not doing it over and over again
on the movie reboot. The franchise.
Yes.
Well, in the Ultimates, in the Ultimate Spider-Man, they really didn't utter the quote, the full quote. They got the responsibility and power, you know, whole idea of that in Ultimate, but I don't think they've ever in the Ultimate
they've never said that.
And the reboot with what's-his-name of the new Spider-Man has kind of been more compared to...
Oh, Superior?
No, has been compared to the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, the Amazing, it is. It's very
the previous
much more...
ones with... Whatever his name is, the
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire.
Horse guy.
Oh, yeah, Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit. Yeah. I want y'all to tell me what y'all took from Blade Runner.
What do you mean, what I took?
You say it's high sci-fi. I just don't get that.
By high sci-fi, I mean the science fiction elements that they use there are unabashedly sci-fi. They do nothing to slow down the telling of the science fiction, or they don't scale down the science fiction in order to appeal for an audience that may or may not understand it fully. They don't give a shit. They're like, this is Blade Runner. Here's the high science fiction. We don't give a shit what you think. You're going to love it because you don't get it.
I love it because...
And that's why I love it. Because I don't get it.
Meets West.
Yes.
It was the first brand of the space cowboy.
Yeah.
It was Western culture and Eastern culture culminating in science fiction. And because that's the only place we're ever going
to
meet in the middle.
There's an appeal to
we
love
all
it.
Get there's sci-fi.
There's an appeal to love it for what it was because nothing else was like that before. But I think there's an appreciation that can be had for it just because of the level of science fiction and how unabashedly it uses science fiction elements in the movie where it doesn't give a shit what the audience thinks. And I think there's a lot of movies since then that try to do that, but before then didn't. And I think that's one of the main reasons it's such a great movie.
There are two things about
Blade
Runner.
They use science fiction to flash the Coca-Cola logo 32 times.
Oh, jeez.
But see, okay, that's what I was going to say. The two things I think that make Blade Runner such an awesome movie, first of all, it's a movie about us.
Yes.
About our society.
Which is science fiction. That's the purest science fiction.
The Coca-Cola sign flashing on a ridiculous hologram super screen. That is that's him making a commentary about how
that one hasn't come true, has it?
No,
not at all. But it's like us getting out of control of it. It's about unequal power. It's about the strong versus the weak.
Exactly.
It's about exploiting the weak for no reason other than they are the weak.
Yeah.
And then also,
and I think that's what all good science fiction does. It tells stories about us. That's the main appeal of the old Star Trek. For me, and which is why the new Abrams Star Trek isn't as appealing.
Yeah. Rutger Howard is the best villain ever.
No shit.
Yes.
He is just mean.
He's
love
so
him.
Mean.
He's awesome.
Go ahead, finish.
The other cool thing about Blade Runner, the story arc for Roy Batty, this also ties into unequal power relationship, is one of the most complex and beautiful things I've seen on a screen probably ever.
Open your ears, Larry. He's speaking true. He's speaking
a round of applause.
He's
I don't care what anyone says.
Thank you. We have a character who has done nothing wrong, essentially. He's done what he's been programmed, created to do, and all he wants is to continue living. So he has to trick and fight his way through a guttural world just to have a conversation with the guy who had him, who made him. And we will never know if he was ever given honest answers by this guy.
And this is our own journey.
We will never know what he went through. At the very end, when he's giving a speech about, I saw sea beams glittering off the shoulder of Orion, I saw attack ships on fire, Tannhauser Gate and all that. We have no idea what he's talking
about. Exactly.
We will never know. The internet doesn't know. There is no Blade Runner expanded universe.
Nope.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
No, there shouldn't be, because that's part of the experience of watching that.
It's not knowing.
Yeah.
Not
it's
knowing.
Tragic because yes. we will never, ever know what he went through to get here.
And isn't that reflect to the overall human journey?
Yes.
That's what I think. That, and that's one that's of the what movies, the appeal is. Larry just don't get it.
As a kid who was into sci-fi.
I think y'all are reading way too much into
no,
it.
No, no, no.
You have to. I think that's what sci-fi makes you do. It makes you want to read into it.
It's the first movie where you actually felt like the good guy was in the wrong at the yes, end of the movie. Yeah. That's the first time I was like, I felt more for the villain by the yes. end of the movie than I cared about the main character.
The only thing I felt I was wrong.
Go ahead, Larry. Big world dilemma.
Yeah, because you're like, wait, no, he was wrong.
Like, when you start the movie, you're expecting the replicants to be these homicidal maniacs running around killing everyone.
And you think Harrison Ford to be awesome.
Yeah, and it turns out
the only people they fought were the people trying to kill them.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything to deserve what they got.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's another problem is it was never it's not an action film.
No.
It was never meant to be an action adventure.
And I think nowadays too many science fiction movies have to use that overly violent
aspect. Back to Star Trek.
Exactly.
Nowadays Star Trek apparently you can't sit around talking about moral complex issues. You have to shoot
an episode where you just play baseball with some fucking Vulcans, man. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
Great episode of DS9 for those listening.
But that's like, thank you, Matrix, again.
Yeah.
You know, Matrix was really, if you look at solid science fiction, it's not about good guys versus bad guys. Yeah, it's about this core question of what if, and then you look at that and the premise. The ending of Matrix is wonderful.
Yes.
It's so open-ended. They really screwed up by making follow-ups.
Yes.
Because, well, that's Hollywood. They can cash that.
I really liked the first Matrix, but I didn't like it as much after those other movies.
Well, I like the first Matrix as a movie. But as far as the overall Matrix story goes, like there's a love story there's a human story there. There's so many awesome science fiction elements that aren't directly science fiction. The elements that sci-fi pulls out of, you know, that uses as their overarching force. I think the Matrix does an awesome job at telling that kind of story.
A lot of the problem the Matrix sequels
with using traditional
went through was the fact that the special effects were so amazing in the first one.
So amazing. So amazing that Keanu Reeves gave his entire salary for that movie to the special effects.
Actually, all the Matrix.
Yes.
They are all millionaires because Keanu Reeves says, well, I have enough money, they made the movie.
Well, Keanu Reeves said they made the movie. Without them, it would have been shit. And they got paid nothing compared to what the actors got paid
in
that
movie. But so, when a lot of people wanting that same blown away, you know, effect when going to see the sequels.
Yeah.
You just can't do that to somebody twice in a row. You can't. It raised the bar for movie special effects so much that there was no way without them doing it in 3D.
That's the inherent problem of making sequels to movies whose main appeal is how blown away you were by the original. You can't replicate that effect in the Matrix sequels. To make this more lowbrow, the thing that made The Hangover so funny when it came out was people were just... It was so outrageous.
Yes.
People were blown away by the stuff they were doing. And you can't replicate that sense of shock in the sequels.
You're right.
The same thing with... It's the Halloween season. Why horror movies had so many sequels? Because people were like, wow, I'm terrified. This is good.
How many Saws did they make?
Five. No. Six.
There was five or six.
Six.
I count seven.
My girlfriend's
count five, six, seven. Once you get over four, what
you know what?
Seven, eight,
I was so disappointed by the others. Saw 1 was such a brilliant
because it was
idea.
Cerebral.
Saw 1 was good.
Okay,
it was cerebral.
You know what? But it was just the one hook, though, that made Saw 1 cool. The one hook where the dude is laying on the floor with everybody else.
It was an amazing job in filmmaking.
The movie is more than like 5 years old.
And there's
Fuck
seven
you.
Of them.
Yeah, okay. So the guy had a budget. He's like, I want to do a horror movie. And I have a budget for one set.
Right.
Yes. I have the one set budget.
Exactly.
And he wrote a story around that. And so, and that, to me, as far as a brilliant breadth of filmmaking, was pretty good.
Well,
and also, that's the same thing about the Blair Witch Project. It wasn't really that it was scary. It was just this
was
brilliant
original.
Idea.
You know what? That's what makes the first Paranormal Activity awesome. It's just one camera doing the whole movie.
But you see, the main problem with, you know, movies like Saw, okay, it's like going into Saw...
you know, you don't really know what's going on. You're like, you know about the whole murder games and stuff like that. But the main thing that really caught on was, you know, like
the toys, the gizmos.
That and the plot twist at the end.
Okay.
You know, it made everybody think, you know, made everybody look back on the movie and all that.
It made you want to watch it twice.
Yeah. And
it's like a Sixth Sense type thing.
Right.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And the problem is that they tried to, again, like The Matrix, they tried to recreate that sense of thought with the
sequels. You can't do it. It's impossible.
You can't, because
it's like making Blair Witch 2. Did anybody watch Blair Witch 2?
Nobody.
I actually thought it was crap. It was good for a cheesy horror movie.
But it wasn't Blair Witch.
No.
But
no.
It was just, no, it had nothing to do with
they
it.
They just stamped the name
on there. I thought it was good for, like, if it was Halloween and I wanted to watch something, that would be a good
choice. I think that's a good point about movies. There are some great ideas that only work once.
Yep.
But when they work once and they work really well, they're like, you know what? Let's try it again. And they do, and it sucks.
You know,
and it kind of takes
a lot
of
time. I watched Saw 2 in comic books.
There's no great writing.
It was
only
okay.
Good
I wasn't blown away, but I will give them
Saw
up.
One. It wasn't
to
the
to the scene where the chick falls into the pit of needles. I almost Ralphed,
dude,
on my buddy.
Oh my god!
It was. Yeah, I mean, I have a thing.
But that's what it became. It became from Saw 1, this cerebral, oh, figure it out at the end puzzle. To just, hey, look at all these cool inventions and different ways we can slaughter people.
Death porn.
It became nothing better than gore porn.
The first one was a pretty cool idea. But
Hostel, yeah, so that's another great example. Hostel 1 was shocking. People
exactly.
Were like, oh man, I can't believe the stuff they're doing in this movie. Hostel 2, meh.
I can't believe they did it again.
Yeah, because it was a classic revenge story horror, like gory horror movie. Yeah, and that's, but, I mean, classic. I mean, that's what Carrie is at the end of the day.
The problem with Hostel is it's crossing the line between softcore porn and gore revenge.
Yes, it does. But that was the appeal.
First when I turned on that movie, I was like, did I put in the right movie? Teen Euro Vacation? Like,
no, dude, I saw a movie with my dad.
Those
are the most awkward
moments.
To the theater, and we're going to go see Hostel. Me and my dad... I'm from the hood. I grew up on horror movies because it's the cheapest thing you could buy in the video store. So we love horror movies. So we hear about Hostel. Cool. It's going to be a horror movie. We get in, and shit gets awkward. Like,
quick.
Like,
it's weird watching porn with you.
Yeah, all of a sudden, being like...
It's weird, man.
And you know, it would have been one thing if it was like a packed theater, but it's like a half-packed theater. And the nearest person to me, other than my dad, is like three rows behind me and two rows up.
That's like
an awkward... Like, so you don't want to even make eye contact. You have blinders on the whole damn movie.
Most awkward moments when you're in a theater with a parent or your girlfriend or something, or your boyfriend... You look over at somebody else. You never look at their reaction. You want to see somebody else's reaction. Because you want to know validation of what am I supposed to look like when I look at said person I'm with. When there's no one around, you're fucked. All you can think is, oh no.
Don't look at dad.
Don't look at dad. Don't look at dad.
Do I look at the porn on the screen or dad? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, I'm seeing titties.
Yeah.
People are having sex.
I'm not going to look down at my crotch.
I don't want to make this awkward.
I wish I drove the hole in the popcorn.
Yes.
For dad? No.
Let's move to Walking Dead.
Moving on.
I finally look over at my dad, and he's just eating popcorn and looks at me, and he goes... You know what sex is, right?
That was the talk. Oh my goodness. That's a great story.
He looks at me and he's like, you know what sex is, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, fucking look at it. Stop acting like pretend. Big fucking deal. We're in a movie. They're having sex. Dude.
That's awesome.
You've watched enough horror movies to know that they're going to fucking die in a second.
Yes.
So we watched it and it was fine.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. So that was my experience with Hostel.
But
and I always think of that moment.
Hostel,
when I watched
that's when me and Dad had the talk.
You know what sex is, right?
When me and Dad watch porn together.
Yep.
Well, sometimes when a mommy and a mommy and a mommy and a daddy all love each other.
It is kind of neat that the birds and the bees talk that way, because in a horror movie, if they're fucking, you know they're going
to
die.
That's the best time to have a birds and the bees talk with your kid.
This will happen to you, son.
Enjoy your therapy.
The girl will have to happen to
before you die.
What my dad did to my sister was that in order to give her the talk of the birds and the bees, he sold her Alien.
Oh,
oh, that bastard.
Oh, wow.
That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, right,
that's genius.
Right when the alien...
She will never have sex.
Right when the alien busts out of the guy's chest, she just looks at her and says, and that's what happens when you sleep in bed.
See,
I guess I could...
Now, I saw Spaceballs before Aliens. Yeah. So every time I saw Aliens with a guy dressed, I think of Spaceballs.
Hello, my baby.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my darling.
Take a few years of therapy.
Oh, no, not again. Good Lord.
Check, please.
So I see your swatch is as big as mine.
Water, get this dude some Pepto-Bismol.
Right, yeah, I love that.
Let's get off the movies. Let's go to TV.
Let's go to TV.
Larry, talk about Walking Dead.
I didn't say it this way, so I'm going to be out for a bit.
We got people running from the spoilers.
We didn't talk.
I had work this Sunday. I can watch.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it last week.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to, because everyone was right about the disease, and I didn't want to bring it up that I was completely wrong.
About them killing off everybody with the disease?
Well, I heard a rumor that they're supposed to have, like, a Red Wedding type scene where they're going to kill off a shit ton of, like, people you love on that show.
Has anyone who actually watched The Walking Dead not read the comics? Do they not know how this ends?
Well, they've said very early,
and there's no ending.
I've gone on this rant several times.
Go ahead, Larry. Rant.
We're going to give you the short version. Larry, the short version.
They have nothing to do with each other story-wise. He has said that they write it in such a way that you will not know what's going on.
It's like the stories, and there's tangents.
There's little things in the movie where he references or he takes ideas, but they're very warped, twisted versions of it.
There's the Marvel 616 and there's the Ultimate Universe. There's the comic book and there's
not
the show.
In the show. I mean, like
Daryl doesn't exist at all in the comic
Daryl
book.
And Meryl, boom. They do not exist in the comics. Tyrese would have been with them at the end of the first season if they were following the comics.
Yeah.
Now, if they were following the comics, Glenn and Maggie would still be at the farm right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Dale would still be alive.
Yep.
Tyrese would be a badass before this episode.
Yeah.
Andrea would have made sense as a person.
Yeah. The only thing that is...
And she would have been 22.
Rick would have gotten some nookie by now.
Isn't Michonne one of the only consistent?
Yeah, it's the only consistent
She's
in
consistent
both things.
Throughout both. That's the same.
Fairly consistent.
Yeah. Carl, to a lesser extent.
They changed her appearance a little bit. And Carl...
To a lesser extent.
He stays very similar. They've done a lot of things.
Yeah, but Rick goes... He loses his hand in the damn comic, don't he?
Yeah,
there's a lot of
And he also gets nookie from some young Andrea.
And he doesn't go through...
And every other female in the party at some point.
But he doesn't go through the kind of depression... Well, maybe he does. He just went through it a lot quicker in the show, his depression, than he does in the comic. He's still kind of dealing with a lot of stuff that impacted him. And it seems in the show...
Lori's death alone ruins him in the comic
book. Yeah, it's kind of like he kind of shrugged some of that off in the show.
He goes crazy. And first of all,
flat out crazy in the comic.
In the comic book, how Lori gets killed.
We always end up just comparing comic to TV.
But anyway, all right.
Anyway, last week's episode, Glenn's going to eat it, man.
You think Glenn's going to eat it?
And then I'm going to stop watching the show, too.
Yeah, sorry, Larry.
Because I stopped reading it when Glenn ate it in the book. Yep. Spoiler alert. You really should have read that by now. Yeah. That was years ago.
Well, issue 100. It's been a little over a year.
Yeah.
It was issue 100.
Yeah. 115 was the last one.
So it's been over a year.
Did the story go on for over 100 issues?
Dude, Kirkman has said that if he has his way, Walking Dead will never stop in comics.
That's the whole point of Walking Dead was a comic that never ends.
Volume 1 of Walking Dead, and on the first page, it says why he created it. And the main point was he loved zombie movies. He hated it when they ended. Because the zombie thing should go on and on and on. And he wanted the evolution. That's his bag, baby.
Yeah, that's his shtick.
And that's what I love about Walking Dead, because that's what I hate about zombie movies.
They end.
But eventually there's going to run out of corpses.
Well, eventually, of course, you know, the whole universe will contract into a speck again. But, I mean, they could carry that out as long as they have a story to explain why there are still zombies. You could have North Korea with a base underground full of, you know, World War Z type stuff.
All right, well, anyway.
Zombie factories!
They pulled all their teeth.
So basically, last Sunday's show, Tyrese finally steps up to be more of a badass.
Does he step up, or is he forced? Does his brain finally just say, you know what, dude? I've cracked in half, and your body is going to react to your brain cracking in half.
He kind of got attached.
Kind of. He was in love with that chick.
He wanted.
He was in deep. You could tell by the way he was looking at homegirl.
But they kind of forced that story arc.
He was in deep love. Oh, really? In the show?
Yeah. It
was kind of like a first episode. Hey, since you've been gone, Tyrese and this chick have been hooking up.
Yep.
What? Yeah, while you were out? Yeah. While you, you know. I know the grass isn't growing at the prison, but suspend that belief.
But we got some Degrassi-style stuff going on.
But, you know, they just wanted to give him, like, some background. This is basically setting up the background. Why is he such a brutal person?
Yes.
Because he's got that love lost, you know?
Yeah.
And he's
tortured. Now, he's tortured.
Of course, in the comic book, he's a family man who lost his family.
Yes.
And but they already covered that.
And they already covered that with Rick's buddy from season one.
Yeah.
They already pretty much covered the family man aspect.
Right, which T-Dog, you know, was like, reminded me a lot of could have been
the Tyrese. T-Dog was so ineffectual. He did not.
Now, the biggest thing that shocked me right now is there are two.
Get the black guy to do the drive-by.
This is
horrible.
You know what? Three episodes now, there's been two black guys and one of them hasn't died. That's a record. Record for the show.
It's a record for any zombie.
It's a record for the book. They couldn't keep two black characters to save their lives.
Yep. Well, I mean, and there's four right now. There's two black women, two black guys.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It should be like that.
It should be more of a.
Can anyone explain to me, as a young Latino male, why the heck I can't get anyone to stay in the damn story for more than an issue?
And then you're just not minority enough.
There's just that one Hispanic chick that kills Lori.
You're not the minority in
that. That's all I've really gotten in the comic book. Was the one Hispanic chick who killed Lori and the baby.
Weren't there some... Oh, in the comic.
Yeah, in the comic.
In the series, there was a whole hospital of Latinos.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
I wish they'd go back to that.
Yeah, I wish too, because I like some strong Latino character.
Now, they might do some point if they decide to leave the prison or whatever. Now, they already said the prison was going to be in the West Coast, or the spinoff was going to be on the West Coast. Yeah.
Which is where most of us are nowadays, anyways.
That's your show, man.
That's my show. Spinoff. Walking Dead Latino. Walking Dead Deportes.
The Farting Dead.
Oh, God.
What is The Walking Dead in Spanish? Be La Muerta de...
I forget Walking. It's a really lame word.
I like how nobody in this comic book store knows how to say walking in Spanish.
And I'm Hispanic.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
Shame.
Would they just use go?
El vamos.
It's going to be called Go Diego Go.
Vamos, fuerte. Vamos.
Because the walkers are coming to get you.
Go Diego Go.
I have to say this now.
El Diego de Morte.
The one thing about any zombie story ever, no matter if it's a movie, a book, a TV show, a video game, whatever, somehow, even after months, nay, years of fighting off zombies...
There's still more zombies.
No.
Okay.
Everybody in the entire story, no matter how long it's been, no matter how supplies have been wasted, everyone still has perfect teeth.
Oh, that's a good point.
A lot of that's genetic, though.
Yeah.
You mean they're unable to brush their teeth?
Yeah, back in the day before you could brush your teeth, kings and queens still had pretty good teeth.
Also, there's much less sugar.
Yeah.
Right. So perhaps their teeth are.
I mean, if we all gave up the sodas and the smoking and the coffee, you know, our teeth would naturally be whiter.
Yeah,
healthier.
All we drank was water.
Yeah,
agreed.
I'm sure our teeth would look pretty porcelain.
Yeah, but I can't get over the grass at the prison always being cut.
Yeah,
that gets me, man. Yeah, like, how in the hell are they doing that?
Horses.
They have horses. They have like three horses.
Who's mowing the lawn? I could say this for a fact.
But I'm with the horses. If they even had some goats,
a couple of weeks, a horse can eat an acre's worth of grass.
It just seems unexplained.
They should do that. Also, the one thing that a lot of people probably missed that I thought was very crucial is Michonne going, "Hey, why don't you wear your hat to Carl in the early episode?" And like, it's not a farming hat. So I noticed when he was wearing that hat again.
Yes.
I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And there was a nice... at the end of last episode, I thought Carl was going to be the one who killed those two.
When Carl got his gun back, I thought that was great.
I thought Carl killed those two to protect everybody.
But
I do like how it turned out to be. I won't say who if you haven't watched it.
Who cares? Let's spoil it. What's her name?
Carol.
Kills those two. Or at least she says she kills those two. I don't think she really killed them.
Carl might
have actually
killed them.
Maybe she burned them? After they had died, you know, maybe killed them once they had turned. But I think it was more of a story device to sort of show how impotent Rick has become. Before Rick, first, second season, he was like, it's my way or the highway. This is a dictatorship. And now he's changed a lot.
They're building Rick over to snap.
He's second-guessing himself.
Rick is going to snap. Things are going to go to hell. And he's going to be like, look,
he's gonna
y'all
snap
try.
Again. Do we have to have Rick snap again?
Yeah, come see,
on.
He's gonna
answering phones and seeing women in white. Come on,
it's like Jean Grey going evil.
Dude,
you know what's gonna happen
you
again?
Know it's gonna you know happen.
It's gonna happen again.
He's not done snapping.
But same with Jean Grey, we bitch every time it's about to happen. Like they're gonna do it again.
Here's the thing: he's mid snap. He like snap, boom. I'm stepping back. And eventually, he's going to assume leadership.
So you're
again.
Saying they're pulling him back in, and that's what's going to make it.
What's
going to
happen is
I can see
they
that.
Are going to. Fuck up royally, and then he's going to be like, well, y'all fuck some shit up. It's got to be my way now.
Yeah.
Sorry. We tried it.
Yeah. Or maybe, I'm thinking, because of the rumored Red Room type scene where they're going to lose so many people, I think, what's his name, the old guy? I'm so terrible with names. But it's pretty much Rick's counselor, therapist right now.
Herschel.
If he goes, Rick's... like anchor to the real world goes, man. There's nobody else he can talk to. You know what I mean? And if a lot of other people go, Rick is going to be put back into that situation where he is the one everybody's looking to figure out what to do. You know, what should we do? And that's what drove Rick nuts.
Here is
being the one who's responsible who couldn't win.
Red Wedding, whatever, scene where we lose a bunch of people.
A very dramatic scene.
If Glenn dies, it's not going to be from the flu. We're going to see him get really sick, really, and we're going to think he's going to die. He's going to pull out, and then.
Yeah.
Because Kirkman and Josh Whedon kind of go from the same character school of writing, get you to love the guy, then kill him.
Yeah.
You know.
No different way. Sorry, man.
Sorry. So many lives have been ruined from not being able to pull out on time.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Wow. That got really dark really fast.
They talked about something in The Talking Dead. And maybe after that episode, and maybe
you were talking about Marilyn Manson.
Yeah,
on
forget
the Talking
Marilyn.
Dead.
Forget Mr. Manson. But he did bring up something. I know stuff keeps happening to the survivors, you know, where they can't really get a break. They can't really get a moment to catch their breath.
Right.
But there has to come a moment when they talk about repopulating the Earth.
Also another thing,
and then
you're
gonna have some relationships that maybe are a little weird. Like Daryl is gonna have to hook up with somebody eventually, and maybe multiple people, just for instance.
It hasn't
to push the rest of the world.
The whole series.
Are they gonna get to that eventually?
It's been less than a year.
Yes. No. One winner.
One winner.
It
started from
fall. So it's
fall,
more than one year, but it's been
a winner.
One winner. At the end of the first season, that they said that was they had sat a winter.
Yep. Right.
When they're in the road in the second season, they're like in the middle of the road in the first episode of the second season with the cars, nowhere to go. But made it through the winter.
Because she slept with Shane before the first episode.
Exactly.
And she died towards the end of last season.
So 9 months. You're saying 9 months.
That's
how you're counting.
And, you know, had been less than 9 months. The first three seasons are less than 9 months.
So you're saying that she was pregnant, even if though it was only a couple weeks, by the time Rick met up with them at the quarry. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that romp in the woods Shane and
her had. That sort of implication in the first
during
scene.
The romp.
No, in the first
in the first scene of the whole show.
They're in the
cheating.
Car.
But they never got to that, and I wish they would have gotten to that.
He asked Rick about Lori.
Yeah.
You
think Shane and Lori have a thing
totally
going on even
before
that.
Yeah.
But she's not knocked up then.
We don't know that. We don't know how long.
But we don't know how long Rick was in the hospital.
So,
you're right.
There were no pregnancy tests in the apocalypse.
There's no pregnancy tests in the zombie apocalypse. Pee on anything.
pee on this rock.
If it burns, you're pregnant. If the cat is on fire, you got the devil to eat it.
They're very vague on time, because it really is a lot of accelerated time.
It's staggered. Yeah. You have to stagger it. But what I was getting at with the whole wanting to repopulate the Earth, what do we do?
I think they may have to kill Carl.
Well, what do we do when there is, and I don't want to get, you know, in the area where we may should not get because it's uncomfortable to talk about. But what do we do? I know. What do we do about, like, stillborn pregnancies and zombie fetuses?
Okay, you know,
I'm going there.
Director cut, remake.
On that
remake
note.
Remake of Dawn of the Dead, zombie baby.
But is The Walking Dead eventually going to go there?
Let's hope not. Let us hope not.
You know, maybe.
Everyone dies because of zombie Chucky baby.
Maybe.
Why zombie Chucky baby?
Maybe.
You know what's awesome, guys? Lego Marvel Superheroes. You have not got around to playing that game. That is the best Marvel game since Ultimate Alliance 2.
Oh, I love
it. Stan Lee, best Lego man.
So, is anybody still watching Marvelous Shield?
Last week, night was not an episode.
It's AMC.
It's on ABC.
ABC, whatever. I was not.
Yeah, I don't
either. All I have is a black box looked, that I
was on. It is not living up to the expectations that I put on it. I'm still hopeful.
Yeah, I'm still hopeful.
It has the rest of this. It has the rest of the season to go.
It's got a lot of episodes.
It's got a lot to build on.
Everybody's waiting for the Captain America cameo.
I'm waiting for any cameo. Yeah. Any cameo. Even a cameo of a character that we haven't met in the Marvel movies. I'd be cool with them saying, for example, the first episode they had that guy with some strength powers jumping out of the fire. That would have made a perfect Power Man.
Could have been great.
They didn't reference it. Instead, they referenced the Iron Man 3 movie and the stupid extremist, which isn't the extremist everyone loves from the comic books. It's totally different.
Let's hold that back for right now. Are we going to judge the show entirely on how many cameos it throws in, though?
Well, no. But I think we have to judge it based on the Marvel movie universe that we have been presented so far. Well, and this is not the Shield from that Marvel movie universe. It's not.
I'm going to call it right now.
That's because it's level 7.
I'm going to call it right.
Please. Level 7 is a lot lamer than the Avengers then.
Because, no.
How does that work? How does the higher up you get in S.H.I.E.L.D., the lamer you are?
No, because hold on. The S.H.I.E.L.D. you saw are level 3s through 4.
Okay.
The most established S.H.I.E.L.D. agents you know.
So you're saying level 7 is kind of like just they threw them together to take care of.
Yeah, level 7, which they talk about in the old Secret Avengers and the old S.H.I.E.L.D. book, level 7 was what Nick Fury used to do.
Okay.
Where he was just like James Bond.
Yes.
Where that was the things that real S.H.I.E.L.D. agents didn't believe happened.
But James Bond wasn't superpowered.
No.
And the characters that this S.H.I.E.L.D. is dealing with are superpowered.
Yes, they talk about it.
So at some point, you have to get back to the Marvel movie version.
And they will, probably. But they talk about it in the Kirkman Irredeemable Ant-Man book. They don't believe lower S.H.I.E.L.D., ground-level S.H.I.E.L.D. agents don't believe level 7 exists.
Yes.
They don't believe no one has that clearance level. They don't believe that Wolverine works for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
They don't believe in a lot of that stuff.
How does it actually go? It goes much higher than 7, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has to. It has to. Yeah, it has to.
But level 7 is like the ongoing legend and joke at S.H.I.E.L.D., which they established in the original Marvel in the 616 that nobody's level 7.
Even back in the day, like Steranko.
Yeah, Steranko established that Nick Fury did a lot of things people didn't believe he did. They talk about when he comes back to S.H.I.E.L.D., they're like, oh yeah, you did some thing. So I like it because it is an homage to the ongoing joke that they had at S.H.I.E.L.D. was level 7 doesn't exist. That's not like the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D.
How many life model decoys does Fury have?
Well, they haven't established LMDs in the...
At least.
Yeah, they haven't established LMDs. Well, they have.
They have.
Iron Man or Avengers talks to... When Coulson's breaking into the Avengers Tower, he does mention a life model decoy.
Yes.
You're
that's
the
it.
Life model decoy.
Taking a step back for a second.
Yes.
Well, that'd be a good debate. Are there more? Does Dr. Doom have more Doombots, or does Nick Fury have more LMDs?
I think it's one of those questions that if you did answer, you would be worried about the problem. It would scare the hell out of you.
It would scare the hell out of you. Like, let's talk about that during Civil War and Secret Invasion. How many LMDs Fury has?
Because he dies in like 3 issues in a row. They kill him, and every time it's an LMD, and it's like, what the hell? How cheap is that? And then at one point, there's even a joke that says, "Oh, you're not even Nick Fury. You're just one of his LMDs."
Yeah. During Secret Warriors, they make that joke all the time that they never get to hang out with the real Nick Fury, and he openly tells them that a couple times. Like, and just breaks one of the heads off and it dies.
Like, how do we even know the real Nick Fury is even still alive?
I think that's part of...
They revealed it in Secret Avengers issue...
But I think that's part of where they're going to go with the Coulson story in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because
something obviously
maybe,
is up,
maybe, and they could obviously retcon this at any point, but maybe Nick Fury was never really a person. Yeah. Maybe he has always been an LMD. Maybe he doesn't even know. Maybe it's
Fury
even Battlestar Galactica and Secret Invasion.
Maybe they don't even know.
Maybe both.
Yeah, I was going to say, did anyone ever read Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. during that?
Yes.
They talk about that a lot, where Tony believes Nick Fury was never really a person.
Yeah.
He believes he was an AI. Based on the original Fury that Cap hung out with.
Yeah.
Because he's like, there's just no way that this guy would be alive this long and look the same freaking way.
And they try to explain away with his own version of
the
Super Soldier serum.
Formula.
Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't age.
But yeah, but...
Well, barely
age. And they talk about that during that run where he doesn't believe that.
That's old school comic book
stuff.
They can get away with it back then. And it's become...
And I still kind of
grandfathered in at this point.
Yeah, you allow it.
Although the one thing I'm looking forward to seeing, if it does ever happen... is seeing all the Avengers' reaction to seeing that Coulson is still alive, if that is the case.
Well, and that brings up another important part. The whole Coulson aspect in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the show has been one of the things to keep people watching. I want to find out what the hell happened to Agent Coulson. Do you think for a minute Disney isn't going to be like, well, you know what? That plot might work better in Avengers 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah.
Revealing what happened to Coulson.
And it's called Age of Ultron. Then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
becomes nothing but a giant commercial for Marvel's movie platform.
If they're smart, they'll prioritize that because people are going to go see Avengers 2 and Avengers 3 regardless.
You're right.
They do not need the Coulson hook for those movies. They might as well keep it for sure.
You're right. You're right. That's a good
point. Well, there's a lot of speculation that Coulson is currently an LMD and might end up becoming Vision.
Which I would be cool with that.
That would be awesome.
I'd really like that
Coulson that we know now, Ultron already exists and has already put him there to spy on
S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll move right into Avengers 2 then in the conversation. I think the whole idea of adding an Ultron-esque character to the Marvel movie universe...
Ultron,
yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Ultron-esque.
It's just Ultron. But we don't know exactly what Ultron is going to be, though. You know?
Ultron was made by Ant-Man.
We know for certain it's not going to be Hank Pym.
It's going to be...
That's what makes me
wonder. The smart money on you is it's Tony Stark or S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, well,
or some other science type. Not Hank Pym, though.
But that makes the idea of a Vision-esque character, a Vision-type character... more, you know, acceptable to fans. Because I think if you drop a Vision on fans right now without any sort of context, it's going to drop that Vision. What the fuck? Like Kit? Like Knight Rider?
Vision? Who's that?
Yeah, it's like Knight Rider.
The new Captain America movie.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that trailer.
Look how freaking cool Winter Soldier looks. They took the mask off of him and put that, like, ninja thing on his mouth, and he looks terrifying. He looks way scarier. Him catching the shield.
He looks pretty badass. He's blowing up SUVs and, like...
And just moving out of the way real slow.
Bionic arm. I don't think I can explain the bionic arm, though, because he lost the arm in an explosion, and in the Cap movie...
Well, he fell down.
He fell, like, 100 stories.
Into a river.
He probably grabbed onto the train and it fell.
That's a pretty minor sticking point.
Though did they ever mention that they actually tried to find the body or did they just?
No, they had to keep going. They were on a mission.
They're on a train.
They're on a train movie.
Yeah, you think
in the movie. In the comic,
they stop Cap trying to
get frozen in ice.
They didn't know Cap was
15 minutes later after Bucky gets...
They didn't find either of them for decades. Yeah. Well, the Soviets found Bucky right away, but they haven't found Cap for decades, and they had no reason to suspect that Bucky survived. Yeah.
And then they make a point of saying that they're in Soviet, what would become after World War II, Soviet... Russia.
Yeah.
When Bucky fell. Let me tell you what I hated.
Buddy, find you.
I'll tell you what I hated about the trailer. First of all, Black Widow straight hair.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Oh, come on, man.
That's nitpicky.
I don't think it is nitpicky. Why?
Because she had straight hair. She had pretty much straight hair.
But she had really short bob in Iron Man 2. And then she had the longer hair with some more body later on. Why do they keep changing her hair?
Because she's a woman!
But it doesn't make any sense.
Wait. So you're telling me that we're arguing about fascist.
No, we're arguing about why they do it.
In a world
where everybody wears the same clothing every freaking day, you're complaining about hair.
I'm just saying, why did they do it?
Where you find comic books where characters' hairstyles, except unless you're in the Invisible Woman or something, pretty much never change.
Never.
Reed Richards is like more or less the same for decades.
Except if you're an Avenger girl.
Or Storm.
Black Widow, who's had long hair, short hair.
In the comics. Over her 50-year history, she has.
This is like 20-issue arcs she's
changed. All right, dude, this is my thing.
Wasp had a new costume every issue. Yes.
But I think we know that it has been within a few years.
Yes. Yeah.
And so she would change her hair.
People's hair grows. I just don't understand. I'm sorry. I saw it as like, what the hell is the point? It seemed cheap.
But you know
what? It seemed cheap. Because it's a nitpick, maybe.
Just be happy it's the same actress.
It's a nitpick because...
The thing about it is, like, if it would be a different actress, both of those actors would have the same exact hair.
Exactly. And because
they would.
Let's move on to the rest of the
show. Yeah, let's talk about trailers in a while.
And I'll say this. In my 9 months of dating my girlfriend, she's had 8 different haircuts and styles.
Okay, all right. Well, she's a hair girl, though. She's not a super assassin working all the time.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
how does she find time to get her hair did?
That because a super assassin wouldn't style their hair?
No, I'm just saying.
I'm crying out loud.
Hi, Elaine. Good night, Elaine. Just to get that out.
Holy crap.
That was cool.
I'm never gonna do that again.
Also, let me say the Captain America trailer. Another problem I had with it. I loved it overall.
Falcon is gonna be in the damn movie. One of the most underrated Cap characters.
Falcon was a highlight.
Falcon is awesome. Falcon's a great Avenger.
In the Cap trailer, there's a moment when they're on the Quinjet and. Cat cracks a joke about his barber shop quartet all being
Black
dead.
Black Widow asks, like, what did you do Saturday night?
Yeah.
Well, my whole barber shop quartet is dead.
It seemed
so
cold.
Not much.
It did not seem like a Steve Rogers line. It seemed cold.
And early Steve Rogers, when he gets unfrozen, is very cold. And that's kind of
he's compensating.
Yeah, he's compensating.
Okay. Yes. If they play on that, I can see that.
And that's what that whole movie looks like. Because he's like, this is not freedom. You can see him not liking what the world has become in his image.
It wasn't too terribly dark either. It's not like she's like, well, all my friends are dead, you bitch.
Yeah, you're right. It did seem a little bit out of character from what I know and what I love about Steve Rogers.
But that's what I'm saying. This is Steve Rogers.
Yes.
The only Steve Rogers we've seen in the present day is him just being like, okay, I got to be an Avenger.
Exactly. I got to work my ass off.
But now this is him settling and him seeing what the world is has become in his absence.
They've been playing with him. He's buried himself and doing the spy
and just being, just being an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He didn't have time to change his hair.
They did hint at that in the Avengers movie when he's like alone in that gym and he's like, he's punching the bag.
Yeah. Exactly, and this movie is him being in our present day much longer and him being like, wow, this sucks.
What the fuck's
an iPod?
The last issue I had with the trailer, the Captain America trailer, was they didn't outright say that Winter Soldier was Bucky. Now, anybody who knows the story knows that Winter Soldier's Bucky. Anybody who goes to Google and writes in Winter Soldier and looks up anything that is not about the movie is going to know that that is Bucky. Why not push that from the...
Gomer.
Right from the start.
Gomer. I had no idea.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Larry.
That's what I'm saying.
You spoiled the movie.
All the people who are going to go see that movie who have never read a comic book...
Had no idea.
I don't think you can, though. Yeah, I don't think you can search,
but you can see anything in the movie.
Well, not only are the people who aren't nerds not the ones who want to go, they're also the ones who don't Google the movies beforehand.
True, but I also think those are the people who are pushing the movie.
It's just us, Gomer.
I think those people are pushing the movie.
You're giving them too much credit. It's just us.
I don't know. Can we
say all that?
Anybody else, Captain? We're not going to talk about Days of Future Past.
We've gone 3 minutes. But we'll spend the last two minutes to say Days of Future Past trailer looks awesome.
Oh, it looks cool.
Xavier has hair.
McAvoy talking to Patrick Stewart is awesome,
dude.
Speaking of, we have
Peter Dinklage.
We have a contest.
There's a contest.
Oh yes, contest.
All right. So, new movie Thor coming out. We've got 2 3D passes.
What?
All right. Now, this contest is only going to be open to people that don't know Jules personally. All right.
I will be at Laser Quest on Friday night. It's my other job. that it's not my full-time job.
Which
I will be there from the hours of 6 to midnight, at which point you will have to come up to me and say,
"Good night, Elaine."
Awesome. That's an awesome contest, guys. That's an awesome contest.
If you find me working, not even knowing what I look like, I'm not going to...
Tell them where Laser Quest is.
Laser Quest is at 166 2nd Avenue North.
Oh, so right. How long is this contest running for?
Till Friday.
Friday, you have to go see Jules Friday night from 6 to midnight.
And
the
tell
first
me
one to go tell him, "Good night, Elaine."
We'll get the tickets. I will then email Larry, and you can get those tickets.
Bring an ID, so you can
bring an ID
down,
yep.
and say, "Hey, this is me," and then you can confirm with Larry at the shop.
You can take a picture, and you can post it on our page.
Awesome. Good night, Elaine.
Good night, Elaine.
Good night, Elaine.
That's an awesome process. That's a good